battered and beaten and tribulated and all of these things. The world doesn't know. You see, Jesus didn't go around strutting saying, "Hey, folks, I'm the Son of God," did he? He didn't. He didn't go around saying, "Hey, man, you want to see a miracle?" He didn't go about doing, you don't go about doing that either. None of us do that. But yet the Bible says we are the sons of God. In spite of the fact that we're hated by the world, we're hated by the devil. John doesn't tell us that with a connotation that stick up your head, stick up your chin, bring out your chest and walk like a real true soldier of Jesus. He doesn't say it with that idea, not at all. He says, "Brother, I know you've been beaten up. Just read it in context. And I know all this, but you're the Son of God. You're sons of God. Praise the Lord." Aren't you glad? Jesus understands us. The world doesn't. But we are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, last Sunday we didn't get through, and I want to talk about it again. That which I got the thought from the graduation and awards banquet of New Hope Christian School. And I had the privilege of preaching the ACE graduation at ABI last Wednesday night. And it was great. I just had a wonderful time. Praise the Lord. You know, you've heard me so much, and you've heard me repeat myself several times, and you could probably easily go to sleep while I'm saying it, but they stayed awake because they haven't heard some of these things. And so it was really fun. It was really fun. We had to go out with the president and the pastor for lunch afterwards. And the Eastman, Dennis Eastman, Brother Eastman's son, is the principal of the Apostolic Bible Institute Christian Academy up there. And I'll tell you what was really exciting is you can just walk in and sit down. And they call on you, and you go up and preach and sit down. You don't have to turn the lights out. You don't have to close the doors. You don't have to do any counseling. You just walk in, preach, and walk. Boy, I'll tell you, that's really something. That is really something. But anyway, I got the idea that what shall I do with the rest of my life? Because a lot of the grads, probably five out of six of the, maybe all six of the graduates said something like that. Did you, Sister Martha, say, "What shall I do with the rest of my life?" You probably did in your 100-word speech, you know, somewhere in there. But that was the that was the general idea. And what shall I do with the rest of my life? I think that's a good question, and I think it's a Bible question, and I think that the Bible does have an answer. Just let me review last Sunday's lesson for a minute. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. James said, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow." Just a little bit less here, and whatever the house speakers are, that's up to you. That's fine. Just a little bit less here. Okay, just a little bit less. Maybe, boy, I'll tell you, things are really getting better and better and better. Praise the Lord. Sound any better out there? Oh, good. People are going, yes, good. Doing a great job, sound men. Amen. We've heard about the sound men, you know. Whenever anything's wrong, they get it. But we appreciate them, really do. Okay, my third attempt at starting here. "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Oh, it's strange to me how people want so much gain in this life. They'll skip church to make gain in this life. They'll do anything they can to make gain in this life. Church just seems to be some kind of an appendage to a lot of people, you know. If we get time, we'll go. But some people are more under conviction than that. You know, it's their duty to go. But like those people, don't you like it when it's in your own heart? I got to get there. I got to get there. I got to be in the sanctuary and lift my hands and my voice unto the Lord my God who saved me and who gives me daily bread. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you why I'm talking like this. We have a world that has get rich quick schemes, you know. And we have a world that has all kinds of success courses, you know, and you take these success courses and you study and you burn the midnight oil and you find out how you can make more money and how you can be higher up the ladder of popularity in this world, you know, and you just keep going like that. But where are the people that are going to fall on their knees before God and say, the way up is down? And I want to be like the church steeple. The higher it goes, the smaller it becomes. How about some John the Baptist, John 3:30? He must increase and I must decrease. Folks, we're not hearing sermons like that in other churches and in the world. And you're going to hear them here, though, because this is what I believe. And I'm going to preach what I believe, my interpretation of the Scripture. And we all who hear are responsible for what we hear. We can say, God, Brother Tamberg was out of order this morning when he said God so loved the world. He doesn't love the world. He just loves me and my family. See? Then you have to answer to God for that, right? Everybody has to answer to God for what they... I'm responsible for what I preach. You're responsible for what you hear. You can reject it. You can act on it. But there is so much energy spent on gaining in this world, getting ahead in this world. Let me tell you something. That prophecy that the girls gave here when they got the Holy Ghost, those twin girls, they said, don't worry about your earthly possessions. They have no value over here. They have no value in heaven. Isn't that the truth? How many of you planning on taking your stocks and bonds with you to heaven? How many of you planning on taking that car you just polished to heaven? How many planning on taking your furniture to heaven? It won't happen. Your possessions, earthly possessions that you enjoy down here, have no value in heaven. And I think that the way to handle that is treat it that way. Just treat it that, hey, God has given me this to use, not to abuse. God has given me this to use to win other people to him. What did Jesus come for? He said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so when he came to do that, that's what he just set his focus on that. He focused in on that. And he'd miss a meal. How many of us would miss a meal? A schedule. We'd break a schedule. We'd cancel a vacation. We'd miss a meal to talk to a lost soul that's hungry for God. See, he said, as I was sent into the world, so send I you. So we need to be about our Father's business, folks. That's what we need to be doing with our possessions. Our possessions aren't just to be enjoyed by us because God so loved me that he gave me all these things. No, I don't think so. So James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city or continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? And that's the subject. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You start your car engine in the cold weather, okay? How many of you run out with a bushel basket or a sack, plastic or whatever, and you catch that vapor from your car, and you pamper that vapor, and you worry about that vapor, and you check on that vapor all the time. Psst, that's what your life is. Psst, here today, gone tomorrow. It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And then he says, this is what you ought to say. If the Lord will, if we live, we'll do this or that. Okay? Amen. Because your life is just a vapor. And I said that David gave that serious thought, and I'm not going to go over, read Psalm 49 again, but my motto has always been, and my children have given me plaques with that motto on it, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. If we can just remember that, only one life will soon be passed. There's another life. Only what's done for Christ will last. Praise the Lord. So what are your plans for this life? What are your plans for the rest of this life? I think I can help everybody here. If you get your priorities in order. Amen. The biggest mistake we can make, I said this last Sunday, is to make money a top priority of our lives. If money becomes a top priority, I think that's the biggest mistake we can make. Jesus talked a lot about money. He said, lay not up. The world says lay up. The world says 401k. The world says stocks. The world says bonds. The world says bank. The world says. Jesus said, lay not up. That's in direct opposition to what the world says today. Who shall we listen to? Should we rip that page out of our Bibles and say the world is right, God is wrong? Jesus never should have said that. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I said before, I just can't believe. I mean, a millionaire worried about the price of a gallon of milk or something. You know, he's not going to. I just went over that again yesterday with somebody. I said, you're not going to spend all your money before you die? Huh? I've asked a lot of people, do you think you'll spend all your money before you die? Well, you'll still have money left when you die. That's all right. I'm just saying, boy, you don't want to open that sack or that mattress and have moths fly out. You know, it says here, where moths corrupt. Amen. Okay, but then he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves do not break through nor steal. One problem rich people have is guarding their money. I don't have to hire a guard. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, maybe your treasure is in something else. Maybe it's in fame, popularity, not just money. There are all kinds of temptations out there. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, you read success stories all the time, and there's one religious group that they just go around glorying in their success stories, and it is so temporal. Oh, it's difficult for me to understand how Christians who believe God and the Bible can place such high importance on money. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. So what should we do with the rest of our lives? Let me tell you what to do. Some of you, most of you, maybe all of you, you can raise your hand now. How many of you would like a better prayer life? I hope everybody. Do it again. I want to look and make sure everybody's hand. How many would like a better prayer life? Okay. Okay. How many of you would like to be a better witness to the lost? Okay. Let me try to help you. I don't have to be a missionary or a pastor to do something for the Lord. I have heard some people say, I need a better prayer life. And I have heard other people say, I need to read my Bible more. I need to be a better witness. But they don't ever seem to get started. Let me give you a little start here this morning, if I can. I hope you receive me. I just want to share a practically unknown secret with you. This is if I have a secret, if I'm doing these things, well then this is part of my secret right here. And witnessing is a major key to a better prayer life. How do you associate those two? Witnessing is a major key to a better prayer life. How do you do that? How do you connect the two? Well, let me try. Witnessing is the key to reading your Bible more and more sincerely. And it's the devil that's got everybody scared of everybody that's lost, afraid to witness. We don't need to be afraid to witness. It's the key to a better prayer life. And it's the key to reading your Bible more. We say we want to read the Bible more. We say we want to be more spiritual. We want to have a better prayer life. Witness. Let's go. Witnessing will drive you to your knees. You go out and witness, And the guy you witnessed to gets a gang together and said, we're going to kill you. Oh, God. Oh, God. Huh? Witnessing will drive you to your knees. Witnessing will develop a deeper prayer life in you. But I don't want anybody attacking me. I don't want anybody threatening me. I don't think God wants my family to be in jeopardy. Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. I recall an old Bible study that a friend of mine had. He was talking about Stephen the martyr. And one good old saint in the church raised her hand and said, Pastor, I think Stephen went too far in his witnessing. I think Stephen was wrong when he witnessed. And then she started reasoning and saying, Pastor, if he wouldn't have witnessed like that and offended those people, he could have lived longer. And just think of all the good he could have done if he wouldn't have been so rash and so harsh. Stephen in the Bible. You know, I don't know what that pastor said exactly, but I could say this. Yeah, that's why Jesus, when Stephen was martyred, said, dummy, you're not coming in here. Jesus stood up and welcomed him. Jesus stood up and welcomed him home, the first martyr. Hey, listen. Stephen prayed. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You want a better prayer life? Start witnessing. Have some threats on your life. Or, not just negative. See, some believed and some believe not. But witnessing will drive you to your knees, whether they believe or whether they believe not. If they believe, then they come to you and they say, I've got a wife that left, and I've got children that this and that. And then they say to you, you told me about Jesus. Now, what does Jesus say about this? Now, you know what you're going to do? You're going to develop a better Bible reading life and a deeper prayer life. Now when you witness and they have problems, you fall on your knees again, you open your Bible. You say, oh God, show me the answer. Lord, I witnessed to so-and-so and they were baptized and they got the Holy Ghost, but they had a lot of luggage that they carried along. And oh God, help them, Lord. I got to answer them, Lord. They're looking to me. And they should look to us. We're God's servants. We represent Him. Right? So go ahead and witness. It'll drive you to your knees, and it'll drive you to your Bible. Witness, witness, witness. It's the key. It's a major key, I should say, to a deeper prayer life and to more serious study of the Holy Scriptures. You'll start reading the Bible. When you start witnessing and people start eating out of your hand, you're going to go into the Bible and learn some things so that you're not going to poison them to death, you know. You want them to eat good stuff. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, witnessing will soften your heart too. It'll cause you to be more compassionate. It will cause you to be more thankful. When you witness and you win somebody and you find out how they've been ripped off in life, you find out how they have been beaten and battered by the devil, and how your house and home are all intact, and you just, oh man. You come to church and you remember so-and-so and you lift your hands and you worship the Lord. You are blessed. You know, some people can really sing that chorus, I am blessed, I am blessed. And every morning I wake up, I am blessed. I go to bed at night, I am blessed. Because you know something about somebody else who's not so blessed. You're not so selfish and so greedy. And you might even lower your stockpile of money when somebody needs help and you give to them. That's laying up treasures in heaven, folks. That's laying up treasures in heaven. Everything shouldn't be for me, I, and myself. Joy, I just told a man the other day, he said, he was talking about money, and he said, I think I met him in my bicycle over in the cemetery, and he said, well, you know, if I won $1 million, some $1 million are floating around here and everybody's after it, you know. So If I won $1 million, he said, I would, first of all, I'd give something to my church. This is the second time this happened to me. It happened with a woman before in an office, and it happened again just this week. I went up my bike to see Brother Lanza's gravesite. And so this other man just happened to be there in the truck, and I started rode up to him on my bike and started talking to him. So if I had $1 million, I'd give to my church. And then he said, and I got some of my family really hard up, and I'd give something to them. And then he said, I'd buy some things that I've always wanted for myself. I said, sir, you just spelled joy. And he said, how's that? I said, no wonder you got a smile on your face. You have a good temperament. You have some good thoughts. I said, you just spelled joy because you want the church first, others second, and yourself last. And that means J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. J-O-Y. That spells joy. Did he ever break out in a smile? I don't know if he'd ever been complimented before like that, but you know, I can compliment people like that real easy. Praise the Lord. Okay, witnessing. How about it? How about it? How about it? Let's go out and witness for the Lord. Not because we want to fill this place. We have room here, lots of room for more people, but that's not our primary purpose for witnessing. Our primary purpose for witnessing is to get people to heaven. Amen. Into the kingdom of God, not into a building on 9th and Menominee Street. No, but we'll preach to them and we'll love them, won't we, saints? We'll love them if people come in, and we'll win them in, praise the Lord. But we don't want to win people in to build up our kingdom. We want to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Because it's just like my wife says when somebody came to her and said, Sister Amber, I'm not going to wear this anymore. And my wife said, don't tell me. Because when you get mad at me, you put it back on. You tell the Lord that you're not going to wear that anymore. And then it's between you and God. I thought that was really wise. Well, we win people to the church. They get mad at you, they'll quit the church. Don't do that. Win them to the Lord. Then they got to get mad at him if they're going to quit. Praise the Lord. I hope I'm making some sense here. Okay. So witnessing will drive you to your knees. It'll drive you to your knees over their problems. It will drive you to your knees for gaining wisdom to help them with their problems. It will drive you to your knees for praying for their salvation. It will drive you to your knees for praying for compassion for yourself, to have compassion on people and not just let them walk by and go to the lake of fire. Witnessing will drive you to your Bible because you will study the Bible for answers to their questions. And witnessing will drive you to your Bible because you will study in anticipation of questions. And it will drive you to your Bible to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Amen. The more you pray, this is a secret. The more you pray, the more you will want to pray. I'll guarantee you, it happens to me, it'll happen to any one of us. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. But prayer is not just getting down and thinking of a lot of things to say. Prayer is when you actually touch heaven. You touch God. You touch the throne of God. Then it's hard to leave. If you're just saying words and talking and saying, Lord, here's my want list today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And that's the starter, Lord. And I'll tell you the rest when I got time. If we pray like that, you're not going to want to keep praying. You're going to want to get up and go out. You know, most of us, we pray like God's our servant. You know, Lord, I'm going here today. Now be with me. Lord, I'm going to do this today. Now bless the labor of my hands, Lord. That's really not the way to come to God. I don't think so. I don't come to God that way. I come to God every morning. Honestly, folks, I say, oh, God, what will you have me do today? Lord, I have plans, and I know you'll bless my plans because I know Psalm 1, and I practice Psalm 1. Lord, but what do you want me to do today? And I pray, oh God, make me so sensitive to your spirit that I can feel the heartbeat. I can feel the hurt of a man when I walk down the street and he walks by and something draws me. Turn around and say, sir, you know, I want to live that way. Don't you, folks? Don't you? How many of you want to live that way? You just really want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, to the needs of others. You see, whether or not I relate or understand or have compassion on another person and their pains and suffering in this life, Jesus understands. And if I can just get Jesus in me and live his life through me, then I can do that. I can witness. Praise the Lord. How many know that there are people in Eau Claire that are not yet saved? Yeah. Yeah. Jesus came to seek those that aren't saved. Amen. But the more you pray, the more you want to pray. I'll guarantee you. But you got to touch God and to want to. If you don't touch God, if it's just you and words, you'll probably be bored with prayer. And you'll say, I can handle this job all by myself and become a humanist. And don't depend on the intervention of the supernatural. No. But the more you read the Bible, the more you will want to read. I'll guarantee you. I can't get alone with my Bible enough. How about you? How about you? The Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You know, there's so many people hurting in this world. And there's so many people in the church that are hurting. Do you know what, folks? We know God. We have the Holy Ghost. We know the Bible. We need to grow up fast and grow up strong and go out and help other people. See, the devil's got us nursing our own problems, and they're real. But once we get out of the nursery and start helping others, we will be strong and we will get stronger by helping others. That's the secret. And the devil's got everybody just, everything's in here. It's all locked up in here. And I, you know, oh man, open up. Open up. Praise God. Let God use us. Hallelujah. Okay. A couple more minutes. See, it's the devil wants to keep us in the dark. He doesn't want us to know that witnessing is a major key to reading your Bible more and to praying more. I want to get that point across big. I want everybody to understand. Witnessing is the key, a major key at least. Don't say, oh God, I want to read my Bible more. Go out and witness and you will read your Bible more. Oh God, I'm sorry, I want a better prayer life. Go out and witness and you will pray more. Do we accept that answer? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay, I think I know something else. Another little secret of mine, and don't hold this as a UPC, Pentecostal Assembly doctrine of any kind, but this is just what I do. This is what I do, and you can take it for what it's worth. And like I said before, the more you take, the more it's worth. Okay. I think I know something that's better than working for the Lord. And I say this, hey, we need to work for the Lord. We need to, you people need to work for the Lord. You young people, you need to get out there and do something for the Lord. Okay, but let me interject this. We say things like that, and we mean them, but let's do it with the total right spirit and attitude. Okay, and that is this. I think I know something that's better than working for the Lord. See how many catch it in 2 Corinthians 6:1. We then as workers together with him. How many got it? Okay. I'll try again so the rest of you can get it. We then as workers together with him. How many got it? Some didn't get it yet. Okay. Okay. I'll make a distinction then. For the Lord, with the Lord. I'm working for the Lord. I'm working with the Lord. When you work for the Lord, you may never get to know him. You may never get to know him just working for him. You go to the factory. You punch the clock. You may not even know the boss, but you're working for him.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I make a distinction. Not from the Bible, except for 2 Corinthians 6:1, but for myself. I want to work with the Lord. Because when I work with somebody, I get to know them. I learn them. I learn their likes and dislikes. I learn their habits. I learn their personality. Okay? So I want to work with the Lord, not just, remember I said, not just for the Lord. I don't want to be a clock puncher in the kingdom of God and say, Lord, I'm working for you, and now it's Saturday, and this is my day off. But when I work with the Lord, hey, I don't care if it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't care if it's vacation time. The Lord is with me, and I just love working with you, Lord. Oh, you're so wonderful. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, Philippians 3:10. So then, when I'm working with him, I'm not punching a clock. I'm not watching the clock. See, when you work for somebody, you can watch the clock and say, oh, boy. You know, some churches go out witnessing. I know churches, and I probably have things in my file where they have certain nights of the week that everybody gathers at the church and they go out witnessing. I kind of reject that concept. And when somebody questioned me on that, I said, I don't ever go out witnessing. I don't ever go out. I never punch the clock and say, okay, it's time. Ding. I'm witnessing now. Hey, do you want to come to the Lord? Do you know him? I welcome you to our church. Would you, we're having special meetings here. Come on, okay. They're watching the clock and then, whoops, my half hour's up or my hour and a half or my 2 hours. It's all up. Punch the clock and then go on back and play games and have fun and do things. Then somebody comes up and bleeding and in rags, and they say, I heard about Jesus, but I don't know anything about him. Can you tell me? No, it's not between 8 and 9. If it was between 8 and 9, I could tell you, but I'm not punched in right now. No. See, I make a distinction between going out and witnessing and being a witness. Let's work with the Lord and let's be witnesses. So he is with us at all times. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we work with him, we will witness. Hello? Amen. Amen. Praise God. We must live in this world, whether we want to or not. You're here. You're here. And we have to make a living in this world. So get a good job and witness. I have an article here. I won't have time to read it. Yeah. Talk is cheap. Results are what count. So goes rule one, number one, in the workplace. It's true if you're selling automobiles, packing tomatoes, meeting a payroll. It's true if you're trying to bring coworkers to Jesus. The trouble is, for too long, on-the-job evangelism has bogged down in a debate over talking versus not talking, explaining the gospel versus setting a good but silent example. My time is up, so I will probably continue that next Sunday. But the